Hello, welcome back for module number 6, and today we are talking about business strategy. So one of the important things to know about business level strategy is what kind of strategy will you have? Is it going to be a generic strategy? Is it going to be with cost or differentiation? What's your approach going to be? Are you going to do broad cost leadership or broad differentiation? Are you going to do target markets? What are you going to do? So all this is very difficult to figure out. Certainly there's a factor of uniqueness, which is going to add value when it comes. But you got to pick what your broad level, your general strategy is going to be. And remember, once you pick that strategy, then you are constantly going through an improvement process to try to improve upon that strategy that you have. So these are things to keep in mind as we go through this learning today. So why do we examine generic strategies, and how will firms compete in a particular industry? The book kind of breaks this down in a nifty little table, and I want to bring that up for y'all to see right now. But you can see here that it has what competitive advantage will you go for, cost. Where you're going to go for a broad market, or are you going to go for a narrow target market? That's something that you have to consider. You can see here that it talks about Walmart. They want a large customer base, and they want to keep prices low by buying a lot of quantity of those goods. Costco and Sam's Club offer similar models where you buy in bulk, therefore the cost is a little bit lower. Then you have the narrow target market, which Dollar General offers a very, very, very small number of products, but those products are often priced to move. Another company that does that very, very well is Aldi's, which is grocery stores. They do that very well, where they offer their food prices very low. But if you were to go into an Aldi's, then you would see that you do not have a large selection of things. So that's cost. Differentiation, that would be offering designer merchandise as Nordstrom's. So they have a broad target market with exceptional services, and then a narrow target market would be Anthropologie, which sells unique women's apparel, accessories, and home furnishings. And I can say that I have been in both of those. Never mind. I was about to say I haven't been in either one of those, but I have. One of the things to remember is that what is your competitive advantage? Do you offer something unique to the market? What is your competitive advantage? That's something that you have to keep in mind. And then remember what your the other dimension would be, what your scope of operations are, and what your the way you operate a business. So there are some business level strategies that we will talk about, and that's broad cost leadership, broad differentiation, focused cost leadership, and focused differentiation. So we will get into those. So when we're talking about broad cost leadership, again, the book does a good job of giving some examples of these. Dunkin' Donuts, and you can see here they make more money selling coffee than it does from selling donuts, and the coffee is advertised as being cheap. It's a low-priced alternative, so that's their broad cost leadership strategy. And something interesting about Dunkin' is I always go there and get half-off tea or tea under a dollar, where you can get a very large tea for 99 cents, and that's attractive. So I may not go there and get donuts, as this is saying, but I will certainly go there and get iced tea. Payless is another one, even though they are they're kind of going through some trouble, but their one, Supercuts, is named as one, and then Little Debbie. So I want to take a second, and I just want to give you the opportunity to think of some other examples of firms that are pursuing a broad cost leadership strategy. And one of the things that I want you to think is that you think about, when you think about this kind of strategy, you think about people selling inferior products. Certainly marketers have tried to position things that the more you pay for something, the better quality it is. That's certainly not always the case, but certainly that is something that is pursued. You know, Kmart has had that reputation, and they're mentioned in the book. Kmart has had the reputation of having inferior products, but that's not true. Some of their products are really, really, really good. Keep in mind that a cost leadership strategy is very, very successful, but it does have some advantages and some disadvantages, which, again, are talked about in detail, and here's a good job. So high profits are definitely an advantage if there's a high market share. So KOAs are used. I would argue that they're not low-cost camping. They're actually not low-cost camping at all. They are very expensive, and I'll give you an example. There's this place in South Carolina, and there's two campgrounds there, and they're right next to each other, and the KOA is significantly more than the other one, but it's also significantly nicer. Low-cost firms, such as golf courses, they can withstand price wars because high-priced competitors will not compete directly. So that's something to keep in mind as well. So if you're a golf course that offers $15 for nine holes, and then two other rival golf courses are at $60 and go up to $70 and go up to $80 and go up to $90 or whatever, you don't have to worry about that because you're going to stay at $15. They're not competing with you. They're offering different services, and they're trying to do different things. So they're not a competition for you. Again, marketers have done a very good job of equating dollar amount to quality, and as such, quality becomes too low, businesses will suffer. Large volumes of sales are a must because the margins are low. So that means you have to sell a lot in order to make your money. So if something costs 7 cents to make and to buy and to get in your store, and you're selling it for 12 cents, obviously that's 5 cents profit, but 5 cents, if you only sell 10 of them, that's 50 cents. That's not really worth all the rest of the stuff. You got to sell a lot of them to make money. This says that environmental trends, and when we're talking environmental trends, we're not talking about the environment. We're talking about environmental trends. Remember those internal and external factors and those kind of things? This is saying that cost leaders, when they have to keep costs low, they might be late to detect those. I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't really agree with that. What I would say is that you always, as a company, regardless of whether you're taking this low-cost strategy or whether you're not, you always, as a competitor, have to look at what external factors exist, what internal factors exist, what competitors are doing. You constantly have to be going through this analysis and thinking about it. And then focus on efficiency makes it difficult to change. I would also argue that one and say that just because you focus on efficiency doesn't mean that you're not willing to change. Certainly, if you are constantly looking to gain efficiencies, then you're constantly trying to get better. You're constantly changing. So I would argue that one as well. But certainly, when you become very lean, it is difficult to change course. So looking at it from that perspective, I would agree. Let's go down here. One of the things that you may have heard, the terms, a term that you may have heard quite a bit, is this term differentiation. And what is differentiation? It's a way for you to make your product different from other people. So Morton Salt is what this talks about, is different, when it rains, it pours. That's how they differentiated their salt through their slogans. FedEx has competed against UPS and the United States Postal Service with their slogan by saying that it, when it has to be there overnight, we'll send it. You know, these are ways that there's some differentiation between the products. If you think about it, a car is a car is a car. So what makes these cars different from other cars? They all do the other thing. But what is Mercedes' differentiation strategy? I will give you some time to ponder that. Some of the other differentiation strategies, Walt Disney company says they have incredible customer service standards as well as focusing on their well-known figures as well. So, you know, everybody knows who Mickey Mouse is, or most people know who Mickey Mouse is. The book talks about this, but this is something that I was mentioning earlier, is there's a cliche that says you get what you pay for. And some people are convinced to pay a premium for goods and services. And I just want to give you an example of that. And I'm going to use Apple, and I'm going to use Microsoft. So there are a lot of videos that are out right now that are talking about the difference of products and the difference of the differences between the Microsoft Surface Pro and the iPad Pro, and they're trying to differentiate themselves. You know, one of the things that you could see in these commercials, if you take the time to watch these commercials, that they will highlight some of those differences between them. But they will also, and Microsoft is really good at this, they're really good at talking about the fact that their product is far superior because it's actually a computer and can do things, where something like an iPad is just a tablet and can't. And certainly that argument can be made. But when you think about differentiation, when you think about different strategies, Surface's strategy has been to be a lot lower in price than Microsoft, and also to offer different products and different distinctions. So the iPad Pro cannot necessarily be a the iPad Pro cannot be a complete computer replacement as the Microsoft Surface can be. So those are some examples of differentiation between products. And, obviously, when we're talking about differentiation strategy, there's a little bit of a different. You will pay what you will for their products. So when you're talking about differentiation, and this is why I wanted to bring in Apple versus Microsoft, certainly buyer loyalty is an advantage to differentiation strategy. As we learned in the last lecture, 92% of people are loyal to Apple products. And then their name, just the name Apple, allows people to, they allow them to charge a lot more, give a premium on the price of their products. But if you look at a Microsoft Surface computer versus and a Surface laptop versus the Apple laptop, they're basically comparable in specs, but Apple's charging a lot more than Microsoft will. And Microsoft has very good brand recognition as well. Some of the disadvantages of going the differentiation route as opposed to the cost route is imitations may steal customers. You see that with knockoff handbags. There are certainly websites that you can find where you can find illegal and imitation products. And there's definitely some less expensive bags that exist out there when we're talking about bags that give people a trendy look or look cool or whatever, that focus on that design that people want, where they would be willing to pay the money for that as opposed to going out and buying a very expensive, in this case, handbag or computer or whatever. Aesthetic appeal is very important. And in the age of consumerism, at least in the United States, I remember when the Apple Watch came out. There was a lot of talk about the squareness of it, where watches are generally round. So the aesthetic appeal there matters to people quite a bit. So there's advantages and disadvantages, which we talked about, and positioning that comes along with that. Remember that differentiation, people are willing to pay a premium if you offer a unique feature or something that people are willing to pay for to get your product. In Apple's case, it's an integrated ecosystem is one of the things that they would say. It's good design, good appeal, those kind of things. And just remember that there's different strategies to pursuing both of those. So now that we talked about general strategies, let's talk about focus strategies. So there are people and companies that go for a focus strategy as well. And some of those examples are Papa Murphy's, which does pizzas. They're pretty good if you've never had them. Claire's is one. And indoor seating it creates expenses. So Checkers Drive-In, drive-through. If you've never had it, they have very greasy fries, but it's pretty good food. They are able to lower costs because they do not offer indoor seating. So that is an example of a cost leadership strategy where you're going to do a distinguishing feature and it's going to allow you to do lower cost, such as the take and bake pizzas, Redbox, DVD rentals, which I don't know if people are really using those anymore, and then indoor seating, avoiding that at certain restaurants. Aldi's has one, which is to, you have to pay for your own cart. So you put a little quarter in the slot, and then you go and you take your cart back, and they don't have people to come in and wrangle your cart from the parking lot. You have to bring it back to get your quarter back. So that's their way of doing it. Or I guess if you don't want to put your cart back, then you lose a quarter. A focused differentiation strategy, some examples is Mercedes-Benz. Actually, we talked about them earlier. They focus on cutting-edge technology. Build-A-Bear is one that's kind of a fun little build your own little bear and put your voice in it. And Cinnabon is one as well. I personally need to stay away from Cinnabon because though they're delicious, I'm trying to lose weight. Certainly they are a leader in that market as well. So how do you execute a focus strategy? Certainly Mercedes-Benz and some others have been very good at doing that. REI, they command a premium because they used feature brands like North Face, which I use. I have a lot of North Face stuff, or Marmot. They also offer expertise, so when I needed to buy hiking boots for a trip I'm taking, I went there because I knew they had a lot of expertise and they would help steer me in the right direction to get the shoes. And actually, what I loved about REI is when I went in there to buy the shoes, I talked to the guy. He told me exactly what I would need. He helped me. He fitted me. He gave me all those things. And then he said to me, look, don't buy it from us because we're going to charge you extra. Go and buy it online. You can get it much cheaper. In this instance, I want to make you a loyal customer that's going to come back, so I'm telling you to go get your shoes somewhere else. So I thought that was pretty cool. If anybody works for REI is watching this and wants to know who that person is, I'll take it to my grave. But I really appreciated that, and certainly that person has a loyal customer for life. There's disadvantages for having a focused strategy. And remember that you have competition. They want to remove your competitive advantage. They want to have their own competitive advantage, and they want to take over your stuff. People are always going after places. So they're always coming after your business model. And then remember that little demand exists for specialized goods and services. Not that many people want to buy special pens, for instance, when they can just go and get a Bic pen, and that works just as well. So there's limited demand for specialty pens, and then or any product. And then remember, as a disadvantage, that when you have a model where you're offering specialties, there might be even narrower focuses that do well as well. So in this example on table 6.8, it talks about somebody like REI may lose business to a ski shop, a specific ski shop, and or a specialty bicycle shop or something. And that may be true, but you may be willing to sacrifice that depending on what your focus strategy is. So that is basically what we're going to talk about with strategy. Just the thing that I think is a very key takeaway is when you're thinking about that cost strategy, and you're thinking about a broad strategy, or you're thinking about a very focused strategy, and I gave some examples of both, and I kind of used I use Mercedes in both, just to illustrate that. Start thinking about these brands, start thinking about what their strategy is, and then how they're executing that strategy, and how they can continue to execute that strategy. I think that one of the things that you're going to find in businesses is the businesses that are doing it well have a very, 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 they know what they are, and they constantly work to be better at what they are. And those that don't, go away and fade away. So keep that in mind as we go down into as we go down into the next chapter, where we will be talking about innovation, and innovation is one of my favorite topics, so I'm really looking forward to that. Before I do, I do want to mention a stuck-in-the-middle strategy, and that's where you do not really offer features that are unique enough to convince customers to buy, and your prices are either too high to compete or too low, and you're kind of stuck in the middle, and you don't perform very well when that is the case. Think of, for those of you in the United States that are a little bit older, you may remember something like Circuit City, which was an electronics store, or Radio Shack. Radio Shack is a good example, which kind of got stuck in the middle with their strategy. They were a little bit higher priced. They were supposed to be experts, but they got pushed out by other brands that did offer a superior service because their strategy was not really well defined. So with that, we will now move into number seven, which is innovation. But before we do, like we always do, let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this class. Thank you for the opportunity to learn about different broad general business strategies, whether it's cost or differentiation. Help us to take those strategies and be able to apply them in our own lives, in our churches, in our businesses, and help us to be able to use these strategies to do wonderful things for you, Lord. Thank you for this day that you have given us. Thank you for this class, and I pray that we will continue to follow you and look for opportunities to proclaim your greatness each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, and we will see you back here for number seven.